Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a parenting comedy podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys. Not that we make it hard. We are delightful.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
The feeding and caring
of
themselves.
Can you imagine a three-year-old in that scenario?
No, what are you supposed to leave the baby in the playpen?
I know.
Tough love. I'm going to feel up your mother. Like, on the balcony. Daddy needs me time. I mean, that's just so May 19th.
Daddy, is that a bottle in your pocket?
Stop.
Okay. Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Ellen. And this is a comedy parenting podcast.
We're podcasting for parental sanity. Yours and ours.
This show is brought to you by our three boys.
And they've given us permission. You sound like a commercial.
I know.
They've given us permission to share our family stories, even if sometimes they look bad.
But really, it's us that looks bad.
Usually, I wouldn't go too far there. But anyway, our boys have nicknames to protect their anonymity.
The names are Tigger, Lola, and Shy Guy. And if you need an explanation, listen to the trailer.
We say this every week. Why haven't you done it yet? If you're a regular, welcome back.
Okay, so spoiler alert, there are occasional swear words that we drop here and there.
And for the love of baby Jesus, don't take our advice unless we actually preface what we're about to say with take our advice.
Right. Because mostly we don't know what we're doing. And if we can just get through the next couple of years, we are home free.
Then we become grandmas and we fuck up the next generation.
I'm way too young to be a grandma, but I'm looking forward to that. That would be amazing. Okay, now that the kids are, in theory, back to school and at least somewhat distracted, get yourself a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, whatever you need any time of the day. No judgment here. Sit back and enjoy episode 42.
Tonight, fighting during the pandemic. Oh, you know, I almost said fighting during a pandemic. Like, this has happened before and we're comparing notes somehow, but whatever.
Yeah, no, there's only one.
Well, right now there's...
Well, okay, well, there was the Spanish flu in 1918, and total props to the folks for getting through that.
Yes.
But in, like, modern times,
yes.
It's not like, oh, fighting during a pandemic, what should you do? Seven tips. No, how do you have seven tips for fighting during a pandemic?
Right.
There is just this pandemic. There's just this modern pandemic. I don't want your seven fucking tips for next time. Well, that's a good one. I'm going to write that down.
I'm going to start a folder.
The next pandemic.
That's right.
You know?
Sweetheart, look at this. Let's just tuck this away for next time.
This is a really good idea. Can you get the folder called Pandemic? Since this is going to be we're tired, but we're pumped.
Yes.
And we're not going to fight tonight.
No, we're going to talk about...
We're not going to argue or correct each other.
Quarreling during...
Or interrupt.
Quarantine.
Yes. I saw that. I think we've read some of the same articles.
I think we did too. But the fact is
quarreling in quarantine.
We're going to talk about how we have quarreled in quarantine without quarreling while we talk about it. And believe it or not, we're going to actually infuse this episode with some humor. Because God knows
That's
we
right.
need it.
All right. So... Oh, okay, center myself. I get to be here. Let's do the shit list.
Oh, you know, I have a couple really good things. Actually, you're better at that.
That's
now.
Like the beginning of like the pump. Like, do you, that what you just did is like Rocky or the makes me think of the movie Mr. Mom when he like decides to clean the house and like really get his shit together. Yeah.
Oh, I wish you could see the chair dance right now. It is amazing.
I said I was pumped. Okay, shit list.
All right.
I think we share one.
I think we do it. I bet it has something to do with dear Tigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tigger came home unexpectedly, I might add, this weekend.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of kiddos who go away to college and never pull the I'm going to be independent. Self-righteous shit.
I don't think so, actually.
But most of us do.
Yeah.
And he's like back where he's like, oh, my family's fun.
Yep.
My parents have only ever had my best interest at heart.
I know. Surprise, shock.
Yeah. And I kind of miss my brothers. So I'm going to go home. And, you know, he's young.
Yes.
He's real young.
He
he's 22, which means he's, you know, he's fit. He's like, He's got stamina.
Yeah.
I am way too fucking old for that drive.
It's a 6-hour, 5-hour drive.
Well, it's a 5-hour drive. And for us, we're not going to stay at a hotel.
No.
So it's a 10-hour drive day. So we drive. We have lunch in a park.
Yep.
We like air hug. And then we're like, see ya. And we get back in the car. I'm not doing that anymore.
And you know what I'm not doing anymore?
And I don't have to.
I'm not going to go into public restrooms or the rest stops on our way down unless it's like absolutely mandatory, if you know what I mean. But otherwise, I just want to pull over, open the driver's side door and the passenger door.
Make yourself a little
Make
nook.
Myself a little potty nook.
A little hideaway.
And just drop trow and
right
take
on
care
the
of business.
Interstate
right there.
5.
I could care less. I will never see those people again. And the only thing they will recognize about me is my butt.
Well,
and they're never going to see it again.
If you have to poop, do it in Chehalis because that's a shit town.
For God's sake, I can't believe you just said that. Sorry, Chehalis.
Just right on the side of the freeway.
Don't you have relatives, cousins who live in Chehalis?
No, Centralia.
Oh, Centralia,
which is a
right.
Step up because they live there. But otherwise, that whole stretch is not my fave. But
so
Tigger came up.
Tigger came home.
And he slept in a tent in the front yard.
That's right.
And can I just give a shout out to Doug who gave Tigger the tent?
He was so pleased as punch.
Yeah, we set this tent up that Doug had dropped off because Doug is downsizing. He's like, you guys want a tent? We're like, well, Tigger wants a tent. We just know it. So we set it up and he's like, oh, thanks for setting up this tent. Wait, what tent is this? We're like, it's your new tent.
And Doug, we did tell him that it was from you.
Oh, yeah.
Big shout out. He loved it.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was really, really. And he's so happy-go-lucky. We're like, you know, we didn't say you have to sleep in a tent, but it was like, you know, this is probably the best for both of our bubbles because we're just not in each other's bubble.
Yeah, he's working with at-risk kids. And so he.
Yeah. And he's like, also, yeah, no problem.
He's like, I can't really take the risk of being around you. And I'm like, I'm thinking the same thing about you, dude. You're 22. Okay. So, but here's the deal. All of our kids are really quarantine savvy. Mm-hmm. And we have been talking ad nauseum about the importance of being safe and they all get it. And so the reason that Tigger is coming up is because he's been invited to his very first wedding, right? Where he's been invited himself and it's not through us or anybody else. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who gets to have a plus one. And because it is with he volunteered at a camp for years and then he became a camp counselor. And so it was one of his friends at this camp. His brother Lola did the same thing, although he never became a camp counselor. Mm-mm. He was just a counselor in training. So Tigger asked Lola if Lola wanted to be his plus one. And Lola says, well, wait just a minute. A wedding during quarantine?
Yeah. Lola was on board with being his plus one, really honored, in fact. I think it was very, very sweet.
It was super sweet.
Asked his brother. But then Tigger, like Tigger tends to do, kind of just forgot a little bit, I think, about logistics around this.
Like the details.
He knew when the wedding was and he knew where the wedding was. But he didn't think through, like, the fact that the wedding was a good 5.5 hours away from his house, and that's not a day trip if you're going to also then spend a significant amount of time at an event.
Right.
And so he had casually mentioned coming up, but it was in such passing that no one put it on the calendar.
Well, I asked him, I said, do you want to stay here? And he said, oh, no, I'll probably just drive home that night.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like hell you will. That's not going to happen.
Makes no sense. So
no.
Just 48 hours before his arrival, we were reminded that he was coming. So it wasn't spur of the moment, but it was a little bit last minute, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So we had
to rally to the grocery store.
We had no plans for the long, luxurious Labor Day weekend, and suddenly Tigger's coming, and we need to get a tent up, and we need to buy food, and we need to, you know, because you still want to do that, you know, that parent thing. Like, let me make life wonderful when you come back home, because I love you so much, and I want you always to feel warm and, you know, cozy and delicious when you walk in the door.
Cozy and delicious.
I don't know.
Don't ever say that to me again or make that face when you say it. I'm super uncomfortable right now.
All right, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that is all true, and it was a really nice visit, and I love it when he comes up because his brothers light up, you light up. It's like that missing puzzle piece.
Yep.
You know, you realize how much you miss him when he's sitting there. And the pandemic adds a layer of complexity that is only going to get trickier as we move into the fall.
I know.
Unless people let their guards down, which we aren't.
Yep.
So we had all of our meals outside.
Yep.
He sat at a little separate table away from us so that he could have his mask
off.
So he could eat. We had separate utensils for him to serve his own food. I mean, it just, you're always planning. Yeah, and I think I said this before, and I don't want it to take away from his visit. Like, if he heard this, I think he'd understand. That layer of complexity is somewhat exhausting.
Yeah, it is.
And so at the end of the night, and he's like off tucked in his tent, and Lola's...
We're like, whoa.
I'm serious.
But here's
what... I was wiped, and then it's like, okay, breakfast. How's the weather going to be? Like...
Yeah,
you know,
we got lucky with the weather.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the other piece of this, guys. And this really ties into parenting and the pandemic and all of the things we're up against right now. So he's coming for this wedding and we start talking to him a couple of days beforehand. And we're like, well, where's the wedding? Mm-hmm. It's outside. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. OK, good. How many people are coming? Well, I think last time I talked to them, there were only like 50 or 60 people coming. Oh, great. OK, great.
So is that legal?
What, right. Is that legal? I don't know. Are people going to be wearing masks? I don't know. OK,
food?
Why don't you read?
Are
they going to serve food? I think they're serving boxed food. Okay, why don't you double check? So Lola is hearing all of this, and he's the cleanest of all of us,
yeah,
right?
The plus most... one is slowly becoming the plus zero.
He's like, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. So Tigger reaches out to the bride and groom and finds out what the scoop is and comes back, and it's legal. It's like, I don't remember how many people were the final count.
It was a lot.
And they weren't sure about the food. And so we're like, okay, boys. They had to drive down in separate cars because they're in two different bubbles. And we're like, you get down there and you assess. And you don't, I mean, Lola is pretty self-righteous right now. And he's the sort of person, his personality, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Mm-hmm. He would walk into a situation like that, go up to the bride and groom and say, congratulations, but I really can't stay because this isn't safe. And we're like, no. Yeah. Let us tell you how you do this effectively, right?
Yep.
So anyway, they get down to this wedding, which is being held outside, and the chairs are close together.
Masks are clearly not mandatory.
Only 50% of the people there are wearing masks.
Yep.
After the ceremony, outside ceremony is over, they take everything into the lodge.
Yep.
And they start serving food.
And drinks and dancing.
Oh, my effing God.
So at that point, Lola bounced hard.
Real hard.
Like, real hard.
And he immediately...
Calls us.
And he's like,
I just want you to know. And it was great.
It was really great because he cares about his brother. So I reach out to his brother and I'm like, you can't go in the lodge. And he's like, okay. And I said, seriously, if you are going to go into the lodge, then you won't be in our house.
And by in our house, that means you won't have access to that restroom.
Yeah. So
you'll have
to poop in the yard is what we're saying here.
Poop in Chehalis on your way back down.
So it was really interesting because these are smart kids. But still, again, guys, 25 years old is when that frontal lobe completely fuses. And even though we're walking through everything with them over and over again.
I got to say, though, that both boys said independently of each other that the biggest violators were the older folks at the wedding.
How about that?
The mother of the bride was not wearing a mask and hugging everyone.
Yeah.
And I just refused to believe that her bubble included everyone.
I do too.
Absolutely refused to believe it. And both of our boys got hugged by a friend who came out of nowhere and just bear hugged them. And they, you know, I think Lola was able to strong arm him, but Tigger got caught up in it.
Yep.
So, but you know, it was really interesting because it's like, okay, well, let's talk about the etiquette around this. It's like, what the fuck? There's etiquette around how to handle this?
Yeah.
What we were trying to impart on Lola is if you're not comfortable, you leave, but your comfort level isn't something at a wedding that you announce.
Yeah, you don't. And you just politely say,
just
I'm so happy for you, I have to leave.
I gotta run.
Yep.
Or you watch from a real far.
Yeah.
Which is also an option. But it's not where you... Those choices are their choices.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just not the time or space to poop on the parade.
Okay, so I don't think I told you this story, but
uh-oh,
it's very sweet. Tigger is our oldest, and he went to school on a singing scholarship. And so he went to this camp from the time he was nine.
Yeah, yeah.
Until... until he became a camp counselor in training, and then he worked at the camp for like 2 years. So 2 years as a counselor in training.
Yeah, like 11 years.
Yeah, a long time
at this summer camp.
Yeah, so he goes out there. He texts me. He says, you know, I'm outside. I was only in the lodge briefly, and now I'm sitting outside and visiting with people. I'll let you know when I'm leaving. I want you to be completely comfortable. We can talk when I get home. He was super responsible mm-hmm. about it all. Mm-hmm. So then he texts me and he says, okay, I'm just about to leave. And about 5 minutes later, he says, okay, I'm not just about to leave. I had to walk out to the spit where I'm sitting and singing the camp songs because aww. I'm feeling very nostalgic. And so he sat out there singing to the moon and the stars.
By himself?
By himself.
Oh.
Just singing.
I didn't know that.
And then he said, okay, I'm really coming home now. I'll see you in 35 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
It was super sweet. So
that's really cute.
Anyway, it was an interesting thing to walk through with our kids because, you know, you just got to keep talking to them. And it's
interesting.
For those of you who are dealing with 8-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds that you're sure are not listening to you and will never care what you say, it's not true. It's just not true. They're mm-hmm. listening, and it's a slow learn because
it's a
slow burn. It is. But, God, at the end, it sure pays off. It's really fascinating to watch all of this.
Do you have a second item on the shit list?
Well, you know, it's me. Yeah.
How many more?
Just two. No, I just have one more.
Oh.
Just one more.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have another one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Isn't this something else? The other one that I have is my work has done something called the Summer Adventure Hunt.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's been so much fun. I love it. I love it. I love it. This, you know, we couldn't have our winter party. We couldn't have our summer party. And so the managers are like, oh, this is terrible, you know, because that's where you bond as a, you know, as a company and you get to know each other outside of work.
You guys have a winter party?
Well, yeah, we have a Christmas party.
We had it. I went to it.
It's canceled this year.
Oh.
Yeah. So the summer party was canceled. The
coming up holiday party.
Yeah, the coming up holiday party.
I won an espresso machine. Yacht. Where were you?
Anyway, so they put together, my friend and one of the owners, Carrie, put together, I think she did it on her own, but I don't know for sure. So I might be misspeaking, but put together something called the Summer Adventure Hunt. And it was 20 things that you had to do to get you outside and then to share what you did with people. Mm-hmm. So you would share photos or you would share a video or you would share, mm-hmm. you know, stories that you found on the internet. It was really cool. And it took way more time than I thought it was going to. And I loved every minute of it. And you and I had so much fun last night mm-hmm. doing one of the final entries.
I thought the whole thing was so clever. But yeah, last night was particularly fun.
Yeah, well, it was recreate a scene from one of your favorite movies. And we have a favorite, as you well know, if you know us at all mm-hmm. or have listened from the beginning. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite movies is a holiday movie, and it's called Love Actually.
Yes.
And there is
have you heard of it?
There is a really funny scene, or what we like, a very sweet scene. What's her name? Keira Knightley answers the door, and the man who just has been madly in love with her forever, but she married his best friend, so he's in a real bind, is there to finally admit that he loves her and to say, I'm moving on. And so mm-hmm. we recreated this mm-hmm. this scene last night, and it was absolutely a blast.
Can we post it?
Yeah. Let's post it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll post it. It's,
it was a lot
you know,
of fun.
It's,
yeah, it was the cue card scene, but with a COVID twist. And
yes.
It was really clever. It was really fun to do.
Yeah. So that's been a real highlight. It started 2 weeks ago and it ends tonight at midnight, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. It cracked me up because it's supposed to be a winter scene. So we kind of dressed wintry, but it was like 80 degrees outside at 9 o'clock at night.
I was dying in that cashmere sweater.
So I was
sweater.
In flip flops and shorts of the pea coat.
When you walked away in that
and
last
my
scene.
My running hat backwards. Yes. I look like Silent Bob.
Oh my God. It was
God.
So funny.
Yeah, that was fun though. Yeah. That whole treasure hunt, adventure hunt was really well done.
And our whole,
really clever.
It was really clever and our whole family got involved in it. Mm-hmm. Everybody got involved.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Everyone was like, what did it say? What's your next adventure?
What's your next, yeah, what's the next challenge?
What do we have to do now?
Okay, we have to find a license plate that adds up to 15. I'm on it.
Yeah, I still am looking at license plates.
I am too. That's so
Although
weird.
Although I don't really go anywhere. I guess it was just when we were on vacation. Well, speaking of vacation, that's my second thing on
what?
The shit list. We're going back.
I know.
We've put another long weekend on the calendar to get back to our happy place for one more weekend before the snow comes and shuts down the pass. So it doesn't mean that area is not accessible, but it means you go the long way. And for us up here in this fourth quadrant of the state, it is a very long way to go around and get there. So it's not, I don't think the trip is worth a long weekend. I think you make that trip in the winter if you're going to stay for at least 5 or 6 nights.
Absolutely.
To make it worth it.
Ellen's like, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, the Metau. That's all I want for my birthday.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. We leave the day after your birthday.
Yep.
I cannot wait.
We're
going to go for 3 nights.
Yeah.
Just the two of us.
Yep.
Come home with a box of apples.
Honeycrisp apples for like $1.99 a pound. So
hit
we buy
the market
like
one last time, maybe one more hike with the leaves.
Yeah.
Changing.
Larch March.
March,
if you haven't done a larch march, the thing about larches up in the Pacific Northwest, when you go into the North Cascades, the first time I went up there in the fall on a hike, I was like, oh my God, look at all these trees. They have some disease. These evergreens,
dying.
They're all yellow and they're dying. Well, it turns out I'm such...
You were a newbie.
I wasn't a new hiker. I just didn't know larches at all. It's larches and they turn gold and do they lose their needles? Somebody's going to have to tell me. Go ahead. Write us. Tell me.
I don't actually know.
I don't care.
But they're gorgeous.
They are really pretty. Anyway.
So that's the second thing. We're going back to the happy place and maybe look up some more property. I don't know. Probably not. But
well, you know, I saw an article. They're calling them Zoom towns because it's little towns.
I know. You can work from anywhere.
Little towns where people are looking at either moving to or buying a second home. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that it actually underscores or illustrates the widening gap between haves and have nots, because it's certainly not a capability for people who are, you know, working paycheck to living paycheck to paycheck and can't afford to leave and have lost a job. I mean, the quarantine is just doing a number on us, which is what leads to quarantine quarrels.
Quarantine quarrels.
Yes.
So, okay, what do you think the most argued things are? The most argued things? What are the top 5 things that are the most argued about?
All right, it's got to be money.
Okay.
Kids.
Mm-hmm.
24/7 together all the time.
Okay.
Is that one?
Sort of, I think.
Okay.
Keep going. You're doing great.
Going to school. Kids in general. Going to school, whether or not they should go to school.
Mm-hmm.
How to be safe in a quarantine, I guess. I'm going to say sex.
Did you see the same New York Times article?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Money, time, mess. But kids.
Oh, mess. Yes, I did see that. Yeah. I did see that one. Yes. But you know what? I saw several and they all listed the same stuff.
Okay. But here, so that's an article from June 8th of 2020, which is actually pretty close to now compared to other resources I found, which everyone was on the bandwagon about this shit in like April. And there were all these articles like, you know, about, oh, just fucking rosy colored glasses about when this was going to be over and how to hang on. And it's...
We're in this
September.
Together. Use the time to be.
Yeah, it's September.
Doing things and
So that's what
enjoy
this,
each other.
This doctor said, but I think so. Here's the thing, and this is what the doctor said. It's never really about those things. What causes a problem is the manner in which partners interact, especially in a time of distress. Money, time, messes, sex, and kids. That's what we all argue about.
Doesn't matter
all
when.
All the time.
That's right.
When has that not been the top 5?
Well, what I loved about what...
kids? That's, we argue about our children 1 through 5.
The guy's name is Stephen Marsh, who wrote that New York Times article.
Really?
Yeah.
You read the same damn one.
I did, but what I loved... When he's talking about like the pressure cooker that the quarantine has put us in, he's talking about the fact that it's how you communicate, not what you're communicating about, that leads to the fights. And it's just harder to communicate well, I think, when there's so many stressors all hitting you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I have said before to you, I think that we could take our two top, arguments that we have and just record them. And then anytime we wanted to,
hash it out.
Every time we wanted to, we felt ourselves, coming up against one of those fights, we could just play the damn recording.
Mm-hmm.
Save ourselves some grief. Pour a bottle of wine, sit there and listen to it, nod vigorously at our own points, right?
Well, I think we could do that for sure.
But let's not.
Pandemic or not pandemic.
Yeah.
But what I read that resonated even more with me is that these issues are being dealt with probably not in a constructive manner.
Yeah.
Could be these 5 issues, could be not. But what I come around to with so many things. The kids arguing, my job, is that there's no end in sight.
Yeah. That's a really good point, Ellen.
And that's problematic.
Yeah.
Because, like, how good do you feel about knowing we have another vacation, even a short one? I say vacation. Other people probably don't call
it's a long
three
it's
nights
a long
of vacation.
Weekend, babe.
But in a month,
yeah,
a month from tomorrow, we'll be packing up our little Subaru again, our little Lesbo mobile, and heading back out into the sticks for, and that having that on the calendar is something to look forward to. It's a moment in time. When is the pandemic going to be over?
Can I just say one thing?
What?
It's my car, and it's a bimobile.
Oh, it's a bimobile.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I know there is no end in sight, and that is distressing, and I want to just yank my hair out by the colored ends.
And I think that is a huge, that's kind of like, for me, like the keystone issue is that there is no, to what end?
Did you mention that in the article, or is that just something that you came up with? Because that is really true.
No, I mean, this is a different article. This is a Huffington Post article.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who the author is off the top of my head. Here's the quote. Even rock-solid couples are quarreling more in quarantine. The stress of living through a global pandemic with no clear end in sight while dealing with fears about our health, finances, families, and the future of our country has tensions at home running higher than usual.
Yeah.
Okay. So combine that
with
all of this time together.
Yep.
No opportunity to miss your spouse. No break from the kids. No, it's just compounding. It's like a pressure cooker. It's like we're all living in Instapots and we need someone to come flip the little steam nozzle.
And get your smelly steam all over the kitchen cabinets because it goes straight up. Anyway, you know what? The other thing is that when you end up having any of these arguments, just where in the hell are you supposed to go when you are all stuck inside 24/7 together? What in the world are you supposed to do?
Well, actually, I have 7 tips.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I have 7 tips, and I'm going to just real quickly pull up this link to make sure that I am giving you the date of this article, because I think that this is important, because I said this a minute ago.
The advice perspective
was so
changed.
Upbeat until, like, literally reading articles, March, we just have a couple weeks to get through this. When states start opening back up again, and it's like, you know, all this stuff. Yeah, I'm sure some states are opened back up. Washington is partially opened up, mostly opened up. Others didn't open it up at all. But that was a false. What am I trying to say? That
a is false promise.
That does not label what was going to happen correctly.
No,
states opening back up again. That's just like a financial technicality in order to keep things moving forward.
Yeah, what we need is for the pandemic, for people to get a handle on the pandemic, and that's not going to happen until we actually have national leadership. So you can say states opening up all you want.
But it wasn't really what was going to, like, state.
Nope.
Yeah, so March, April, May, the language was all about when states open back up again. It's
yep.
like, well, what the fuck does that mean? This doesn't mean there's a vaccine all of a sudden
yep.
or that we're in the clear. So states are going to open up back up again. That's not going to be the release on the Instapot pressure cooker. But
no.
Here's an article from May 19th, and this is 7 tips.
May 19th. Okay.
Yeah.
Taking it with a grain of salt.
So you said, what are you supposed to do? Where do you go fight? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
To, like, whatever. So here's the highlights.
Okay.
So, and this is May, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So one was bring back date night.
Where are you supposed to go on a date?
Right. Okay, so this one I actually copy and pasted from the article into my notes so I could read this one out, because this one pissed me off. Okay. Social distancing guidelines may have foiled your go-to date night plans. You can't hire a babysitter, eat at a restaurant, or catch a movie in the theaters, but you can still carve out some time to connect at home. Psychologists, blah, 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 recommend setting aside at least an hour per week for just the two of you. Meet up in the backyard or on the balcony. Dressed in your finest, if you wish. Have a drink. Non-alcoholic is fine. Slow dance. And play charades or a board game.
What the hell?
My hostility level.
That is the worst advice.
Well, so you and I could pull this off. Our kids are
older,
basically adults, yes, in terms of like the feeding and caring
of
themselves.
Can you imagine a three-year-old in that scenario?
No, what are you supposed to leave the baby in the playpen?
I know.
Tough love. I'm going to feel up your mother. Like on the balcony. Daddy needs me time. I mean, it's just, that's just so... So May 19th.
Daddy, is that a bottle in your pocket?
Stop. Okay. Okay, so here's the others, and I'll just go through these real quickly, because I think you bring up a good point. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to do?
Oh, my God.
Tensions are running high, so what's the actual advice? And this is not it.
I can see that date on the balcony going so far sideways that somebody goes off the balcony.
Yeah, for reals.
So bad. Go ahead.
And then it's on Unsolved Mysteries. Mm-hmm. She was there, and then she was gone. You know, the husband did it. Actually, she ran away.
Never to be seen again.
Okay. So
except
in
Vegas.
This is two. Here's the rest. So that was Bring Back Date Night. And then we've got cut each other some slack more than normal. That's fair.
Yeah. I think that's a good one, actually.
I think it's like you got to just chill the fuck out.
Well, and you have just say what your deal is. I'm sorry. I'm feeling so stressed because this is never going to end. And it feels like it's never going to end.
Yeah. So right? The kitchen is an absolute mess. Totally. But what's behind that? The loss of control.
Yeah.
The uncertainty.
Yeah.
So if you're the, you know, then clean the kitchen for your spouse if it's stressing them out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't fight it. Just help. Okay, number three, prioritize alone time. And this is for you. And I like this one.
I think that is probably the most important piece.
Yeah. So then, and there's like other bullshit that they roll up into here. So prioritize alone time without your partner. That's like, go on a walk by yourself.
Yes.
Go on a hike by yourself. Drive the car around. Get coffee and just drive for an hour by yourself. So making just alone time with your thoughts by yourself. I thought that was a good one. Number four was practice self-care together. I think that was like...
What does that mean exactly? I just want to say so many inappropriate
It wasn't
things.
Grody, though. It was...
Clip each other's toenails or...
Meditating, going on a...
Together?
Exercising.
Oh, we do that.
Self-care.
Yeah, okay.
So stuff like that. This create a quarantine routine that works for you. Again, it's May. That was when it was like, get a, you know, like
oh,
you,
and everybody, remember
you
the...
couldn't buy a planner on Amazon. Everyone was buying calendars and I'm going to just be the fucking lights out, you know, balls to the wall.
Oh, look at this cute schedule that my daughter put together. Oh, my God.
Fuck
I was like, that
you.
Is going to happen. That's going to last like for two
that,
minutes.
You are so done. You know, oh, my God. Okay. Stop keeping score on who's doing more around the house. So you're confined at home. That's your only place to be. And you're like organizing and you're losing your shit and you're mad that your spouse isn't with you on that same journey. Stop. Okay. But number seven on this HuffPo article, and I really like this right now during the pandemic, during this time that is uncertain and volatile and scary and sad.
Yeah.
Don't try to resolve longstanding conflicts with your partner.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a pointed? Are you looking at me like that for a reason?
No.
Just, you're so easy.
What in the fuck?
Oh, my God. It's just like poke, poke, poke.
No, let's see. So this is not the best time to hash out major relationship problems that existed prior to quarantine.
No.
You don't have the same tools.
Right.
You don't have the same outlets.
And you
don't have
too many
the same
stressors.
Well, and you don't have the same support system.
Right. Because I used to go out and see my girlfriends.
That's
and
right.
then I would go out and take a walk with somebody else, or I would go do this, or I would go do that. And I would leave the house and I wouldn't see you all day long. And mm-hmm. I would come home and I'd be like, oh, I have so much to tell you about my day. And I would have talked about things that might, little, tiny, small, inconsequential things that might have been bothering me with my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have been like, dude.
Let it go.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. And I'd come home and I'd see you with new eyes. But you know what?
And then I'd slip the 20 in the mail.
Couples don't get to do that anymore. They don't get to miss each other.
And if you were in a relationship, you had a relationship with a therapist.
Yeah.
Not a bad one, like a patient-doctor relationship with a therapist. Not all doctors switch to telehealth.
What?
Yeah. So maybe you don't have that. Now, again, this is an article that was written earlier, and I think at this point most have.
I
but
can,
right at first.
Yeah.
They didn't all.
Yeah, I remember.
For sure, because I remember talking to a girlfriend of mine who had to help her dad, who is a doctor, get A, a laptop, B, an email.
Oh, my God.
C, figure out Zoom so that he could do telehealth with his patients. Oh. He worked in a small town. He had no need for
ever,
any technology.
He's probably thinking, I'm going to get out of this life and never have to learn this shit.
I am going
to
retire. And God said, not so fast, asshole. Get an email address.
God, remember when we used to go to work and the kids went to school and we would reconvene at the end of the day and we were happy to see each other?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there might have been too many activities, but... And we were pulled in a million different directions, but they were fun activities. And we had all these relationships with so many other people, and our cup was like half full.
Oh,
God.
We just had such a nice little life going.
I know.
Right? Yeah. And it's all been totally shaken up. But this is not unlike any other natural disaster where someone wakes up and they're in the middle of a tornado or a hurricane or a fire. Like, we are living through something akin to that.
Yes, it's just that there's no end in sight.
Well, there's no end in sight completely, but now that I've said that out loud, I'm thinking to myself, if our house burned to the ground,
yeah,
what would the end date be?
You would cobble it back together.
I think you would, but I think so many things like this actually might not have an end date because someday there will be a vaccine and all of a sudden we'll be in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right?
All right. That's fair.
So I feel
like... So are you saying that we're just complainers and wussies?
No, because there's no infrastructure set up to support us.
That is the difference,
and it's
isn't
all
it?
Ad hoc.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that FEMA does a great job always. Depends on the administration. But this is really listless. Like, there's no clear path. And throughout all of it, states have worked hard to figure it out. And some governors are better than others. And some senators are more helpful. And... it's just been all over the place. So you could be someone who lives in a state where masks are mandated and you are so freaked out by it that your anxiety level is off the charts because you don't want to wear one. You're someone who just thinks it's all horseshit. And flip, you could live in a state where there's no mandate and you are really high risk. And I mean, this is like, you know, for someone who has suffered, who has dealt with anxiety her whole life.
Yeah.
I've kind of been training for this moment. And I'm ready.
That's so funny. No, you are the least ready person I know, baby.
I've been pretty chill. I've been the one on the front lines at Costco. I haven't seen you at Costco in 2020, bitch.
And you're not going to.
Yeah.
I will not go there.
But my point is, this is just a really weird one because, like so many natural disasters and things that happen, mm-hmm. like one of the wildfires is going to be over.
Oh my
God. Nobody knows.
I cannot tell you how badly I feel for those firefighters. Yeah. Can you imagine the heat they are enduring?
No.
That is, I mean, not only are they putting their lives on the line, but they're risking heat stroke, and that must be the most miserable thing in the whole world. As a matter of fact, we got a phone call from Tigger at dinner tonight to say, hey, they just put my town into, what is it, code 2 or phase 2?
Yeah, stage 3.
Stage 2, which is pack your bags and have your car ready to go in case you need to get out of Dodge. And it's not a small city he lives in. It's not huge, but it's unusual that he would ever deal with that. But there are literally fires ringing his area. So, God, so scary.
Are you familiar with the website The Knot?
Oh, God, yes.
Wedding planning?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, The Knot did a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an app called Lasting. So if you go to theknot.com, they actually have like 8 properties, I think.
God.
They have like the wedding planning site, pregnancy.
Remember
post.
When that came out?
And I was all like millennial,
this is brilliant.
White lights outside, influencer, mason jar bullshit.
Yep.
Right? So The Knot and Lasting, which is their app dedicated to making your marriage last, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They did a relationships report April 16th, 2020.
Okay.
So let's say we're a month in.
Yeah.
At least in our state, in Washington, that would have been about a month in.
That's right.
From the stay-at-home order, which we thought would be 2 weeks and then another week and then, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never thought it would be that short.
So this is from a response group. And this is why I was cracking up so hard earlier that I could hardly breathe. So they interviewed about 1,500 people, which is a decent control set of individuals.
1,500?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's
a lot of people. Yeah. And these are the key report findings. So this was something that they did specifically around the pandemic and social distancing. Okay.
Okay.
Engaged couples, 66% are more likely than their married counterparts to report a positive impact on their relationship as a result of this pandemic. So engaged couples are like, yeah, more time together. And married couples are like, fuck. That's what this says. Okay. The most common arguments among all 1,500 of these couples since the pandemic began, in order, number one, how often to have sex?
Yeah, there you go.
How often?
Not how loud?
Once a day, or can we go twice a day? How often to have sex?
Okay. Well, I read, you know what? In researching this, I read that the continual stress of a pandemic dampens your sex drive.
Sure it does.
Sex is way down and people are not happy about it.
Well, one psychologist I read a quote from said people should have it more if they can because of like the dopamine levels, whatever hormones it releases is actually so positive.
That's only for
men.
That was clever.
Those bastards.
No, that's only for acute stress. When it's long-term stress.
This is not acute stress. This is an ugly stress.
It is an ugly, ugly stress.
Number two, what to spend money on.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Number three, and this is just ass, how much mobile phone time to have. What? Like, get off your phone right now?
Get off your phone and look at me. Talk to me.
I mean, carve out some time where it's okay to just scroll, because do you know how much pleasure memes bring me? Just laughing hard.
I can hear you in any part of the house. And sometimes I wonder, does she know I'm here?
Oh, stop it. I know you never go anywhere. Of course you're here. I can't get away from you. Okay, the most common emotions that these folks are reporting that they're noticing in their partner is anxious, stressed, and overwhelmed during COVID.
No.
I know.
That's so unusual.
The what? More than 6 in 10 engaged couples have said that sheltering restrictions have strengthened their relationship.
Yeah, that's because they
only
are young and dumb.
Only 3% of married couples.
Say those stats again.
6 in 10 of engaged couples.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and 3%.
60% compared to 3%.
Yeah.
That's
actually
hilarious.
I might be reading that wrong. Ignore that one. I might be reading that wrong.
Okay.
But definitely the point is that the engaged couples are loving this time. And this is back in April. Remember, they might be split up by now.
That's right.
Okay, just a couple more of these for a good laugh. All right. So specifically COVID-19's impact on married couples. 29% of married couples have admitted to seeing their relationships weaken as a result of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
While 56% of married couples say it strengthened it. But still, 29%.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
That's probably about the percentage of couples who had kind of a fragile relationship to begin with.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more. Nearly 4 in 10 couples note they've experienced an increase in disagreements with their partner in recent weeks.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and that was in April. So again,
imagine what it's like now.
They divorced. Okay. Due to COVID-19, married couples,
mm-hmm.
are spending more time together on 54% binge watching TV.
Yes.
45% working on home upgrades. Again, this is April.
This
is in April when everyone was like, I'm going to just get that shed built.
And everybody was in Home Depot and nobody was wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. 42% cooking and baking together. Mm-hmm. Sourdough. Okay. 38% online shopping. That's me all the time. So
I'm about to get real serious about online shopping. I wanted to warn you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the packages that arrived today were all for you. So, okay. And then 37% exercising and working out. Totes my goats.
Yep.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. COVID-19's impact on couples with kids. So this is really in our wheelhouse.
Okay.
Here we go. This is the actual point of our podcast.
Thank God you're here.
Handful of stats I have. Those with kids are less likely, 49%, to report a positive impact on their relationship.
I believe that.
Yeah.
It's just been too damn hard.
Okay. 1 in 10 parents says the crisis has significantly weakened their relationship.
1 in 10. Mm-hmm. That's 10%. Okay.
So since March 15th, and again, March 15th, everybody, was day one for the U.S. of really where finally someone said, okay, shit.
Well, it wasn't day one. It was more like day 465. Remember March?
Yeah. Well,
so long. The longest month.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was March 15th was 2 days into our stay at home order.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. Those with kids are 20% less likely to talk comfortably about challenging issues together than prior to the pandemic.
Oh, interesting.
So people are like,
forget about it. We'll wait.
Yeah. And I don't know what those challenging issues are, but if my kid said to me, came to me and said, you know, when is there going to be a vaccine? I'd be like, what do you want for dinner? Ice cream? Great. I mean, okay. Couples with kids are 31% less likely to navigate disagreements in a healthy way than previously.
Wow.
So people are arguing like a lot.
Well, they know all of the studies
even
said
that soon
yes.
into it.
Yeah.
So
it's stressful.
Those without kids, 49%, are more likely than those with children, 28%, to say their partner makes them feel appreciated. So parents are not feeling appreciated by each other.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it.
Well, you know,
a lot more here, but those were the ones that I just thought.
Maybe we should post some of these links because it sure does make a difference to have some of this, the resources.
Yeah.
We're not the only ones who are miserable. Our kids are really miserable.
Mm-hmm.
They're no matter the age.
I think they're more miserable. I mean,
they might be more miserable than
us. I think they're
us.
More miserable than...
They're missing socializing.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing seeing each other. But I bring this up because we had a really great experience this week. You know, you were talking, Ellen, about the fact that 7 tips to and 5 tips to and we've never had a pandemic before and how in the hell mm-hmm. should we know what to do? Mm-hmm. Well, we really don't know what to do. And we are phase 1 family. That's how we refer to ourselves. So
that's going to be in our Christmas newsletter this year.
We're going to have one. This is awesome.
Christmas newsletters are going to fucking explode. We should absolutely somehow try to capitalize. Okay.
I totally agree.
Sorry.
But let me finish this. I think that if we are a phase 1 family and there is no blueprint for how to do this beyond, you know, the first 2 weeks and suddenly you have kids and you're facing, when can I see my boyfriend again?
Mm-hmm.
When can I see my girlfriend again?
Mm-hmm.
I miss my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is playing together. Why can't I play together?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this. So we had this experience. We had to figure out somebody who's in our bubble who was kind of extending her bubble. And we met via Zoom with this other parent and said, look, here's the deal. Here's our situation. We are phase 1 and this is who we are. And we're, you know, we're really nervous about this. But this woman has asked us to talk to you. And it was unbelievably helpful to talk to this other parent who
mm-hmm.
said, let me tell you how I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, my God, we do that, too. No, we don't do that yet. That's a good idea. Oh, you know what? Here's what we do to address that situation. And we frickin' compared notes. And it was...
frickin'? You never say frickin'.
We did.
We compared notes.
Yes, Jen. Shout out to Jen because that made
that
all
was
the
really
difference.
Helpful.
It was helpful to know how another parent who has kids...
Because talk about a bubble.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, we just didn't know what anyone else was doing, really. Like, well, I mean, we kind of had some ideas, but what we didn't know what other phase 1 mentality families were doing.
Right. Right.
And so what does that look like to everybody?
Yeah.
Are we too locked down? Is there some wiggle room here that's still safe that we're not considering? Like how are you handling this? Because it's like, I feel like there's potentially a lot of shaming that could, you know, like, oh, you shouldn't have gone there. That's exposure. And it's like, well, hang on.
She was so great. She said, here's my attitude. These are our rules. These are our phase 1 rules. If you want to be a part of our bubble, and it's not really even a bubble, there are different levels, right? There are those who wear masks and stay 6 feet away. There are those who only do outdoor sports with lots of wind and they don't wear masks, but they stay 6 feet away.
Lots of wind.
Yeah. There are those who are in our bubble and we see without masks and it's 3 or 4, right? And so there are all of these different levels. And she said, she checks with everybody who comes into her house or not into her house because nobody does, but into her, you know, area
mm-hmm.
outside on the deck or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, where have you been? Who have you seen? Is there
She literally asks them these questions and says, no judgment, but
no
we need
judgment.
To know.
We just need to know. And if you need to quarantine, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It only takes 2 weeks and you'll be back.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work out right now, then that's fine.
Yeah. I loved that.
It was so like breezy.
Easy breezy. Ah, what was that girl's name?
Katie.
Breezy.
Breezy. Yeah. It was so refreshing to hear from someone else and see where her head was at. And then we kind of mapped out our bubble people in a similar fashion to see if that, you know, were we you know, we think we're all locked down, but were there any gaps in that? And like just staying safe because...
And letting her know what we were doing, because this is, you know, it's one of those situations where it's when there's a divorce, then you share custody. And when you share custody, it fucking gets messy as all get out because we are trying to coordinate, you know, what's safe, what's not safe. And it's super hard. And then you add the complexity of another person or another, you know, person in your circle, it becomes extremely difficult and you start to feel really nosy, asking questions that you don't feel like you should be able to ask. And I think that's a big conflict issue for couples that are out there dealing with it, whether you're divorced or not. You know, you're trying to figure out, there are plenty of parents who are married who don't agree on how much in real life socialization their kids should be able to have. And that is right now for parents, that is the probably the biggest pain point. It's so painful to watch your kids suffer because they miss their friends and other people are doing things that you don't want to let them do because grandma's life is important. You know, that is just, that's tough.
Well, not just grandma. Grandma's 80. How about your aunties and your parents that are in their early 60s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the one thing that they've said since the beginning is that 60 and up is going to have a tough go if they get it.
Yep.
That has been the one consistent fucking thing that they have
said. The only consistent thing, yeah.
And so, you know, just why would you risk it? Why would you risk it?
But it's hard to explain that to an 8-year-old. It's hard to explain that to a 16-year-old who misses his girlfriend. It's hard to explain that to a 22-year-old who wants to go to a wedding.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard right now. And that, I think that's the takeaway from most of the stuff that I read about fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Cut yourself some slack.
Well, and I think...
You know what? Just try to chill out with each other.
Yeah, cut yourself some slack. But those things you're talking about, even some couples aren't aligned on. And I think that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
Like, I read stories of one person wants to go, their office is open and they want to go back to work and the spouse really doesn't want them to.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find conflict there. Mm-hmm. They see eye to eye on whether or not the kids should be in school or distance learning. They are just not feeling supported with how their take on what safety means.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we should be doing this. No.
We've had to navigate a lot of that stuff.
I think, you know, yes, let's go out to dinner. No, I'm not comfortable going out to dinner.
Yep.
You're not supporting what I want. It's like, I don't want to die. Like, you know, it's just, this is just a
shit show.
Powder keg.
Yep. Powder keg, a shit show. You go ahead. Name a euphemism. Share it with us if you want to, because we have social channels,
mm-hmm.
and you can do that almost anywhere.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And you can also email us at ishouldn'thavehadkids@gmail.com. Pro tips before we go, though. If you do end up in an argument,
mm-hmm.
I love these pro tips so much. This is from one of the people I've already mentioned, actually. Sorry, not going to mention him or her again. don't ever believe that fighting is actually a proxy for communicating.
Ooh.
Because it's not.
It's not.
No, when you're all hepped up, you're not going to communicate very well. So you need to at least have the wherewithal to recognize, whoa, I'm all hepped up and now we're having a fight. And so I need to acknowledge to myself, you don't have to say it out loud to them, this is not communication. But what this article said was talk eye to eye. So look at the person in the eye. This is the person you love. So look mm-hmm. them in the eye
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
face to face and sit close.
I read this.
Real close. And I loved that. Do you remember the time that my counselor said, I want you to take a walk with Ellen and I want you to hold her hand. And I can't remember what it was. It was a big, big deal for us. Whatever it was. I remember it was mm-hmm. a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just had just one of, we don't do a lot of fighting, but this one was like for reals.
Really?
And I was like, I don't want to do that. And she said, I'm sorry, what? She was such a great counselor. And so I asked you if you would go for a walk and I took your hand and I will never forget. You were like, oh my God, this is so nice.
Really? I wasn't all PDA freaky?
No. No. I think you were shocked that I had taken your hand because I was so goddamn mad
at
you.
Well, I was sleeping in the guest room. So
it was... You were not.
No. I wasn't.
Anyway, by the time we got home, I felt better. and we felt closer.
Oh, that's nice.
It was nice. So I
clearly blocked it out completely. So.
I know. I can't believe you have no recollection of
who is this counselor? Pay her more.
All right. And I love this piece. Signal that you're going to be okay as a couple and that this is just a fight.
Yeah.
Because the biggest risk is that fear of abandonment. And mm-hmm. as soon as somebody is afraid they're going to be abandoned, mm-hmm. then they can't be their best self and mm-hmm. they will not be present for you to discuss. Keep your fights short. Stay on message. Do not, listen to me, do not go to another topic. Don't globalize.
Don't globalize.
Just make it about this topic, this thing that happened right now, okay? And if you need to get physical release... No, I don't mean that kind of physical release.
Oh.
I mean like running or, you know, doing yoga, whatever it is.
If like you need, when you just want to punch the wall.
If you need to take a break, then take a break and go get some alone time and physical release. And make sure that you, when you talk to your partner, try to have a soft start. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was one of the best pieces of advice because I come in hot all the time.
You do.
I'm really good at it.
Come in hot.
So hot.
You're so hot.
I know. And a soft start is really, really important. And I did want to say before we leave that this is really good advice. This is the advice you should take because it doesn't come from us. It comes from these experts.
Yeah, this isn't advice from Bonnie and Ellen.
No.
This is from articles that we'll post. So it's actual advice from
real
professionals.
People who know what they're talking about.
Professionals.
And here's why it's important. The divorce rate in Wuhan increased 50%.
50%, everybody.
50 after the pandemic.
Oh, my God.
So don't take each other too seriously. And for Christ's sake, don't take yourself too seriously. And use some of the tips from these experts.
And go back to school, night school, and get your degree in law, divorce lawyer.
Because it's coming.
I'm ready for you. I need you. Oh, my God.
You're so bad. All right.
I know.
All right. Let's go let's go not argue.
Okay.
Let's go have loud sex.
Oh, my God. I just want to die. Yeah. Let's go not argue and have loud sex. That's what we should do on Tuesday?
Tuesday night with Lola. Sweet. Just like waiting up to say goodnight to us. Sure.
That'd be good. I haven't quite met my exercise goal for the day, so... That'll just round it right out.
All right. And last piece of advice, use humor. Yeah. Go ahead. Infuse your lives with humor. And if you need help doing that, you'll meet us here every Tuesday when we drop a new episode of I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. It's been sweet to have you with us.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. We really appreciate it. Our fans are the best. You guys are so loyal and delightful.
Oh, I was going to say, we are so close to 10,000 downloads.
Oh, my God.
I think we should have a 10,000 download challenge.
Okay.
And you know what that means?
What would it be?
I don't know.
We got to figure it out.
If everybody who listens shares with one other person and they start to download, it could happen.
Yeah, we could get faster. To 10,000.
Oh,
so no one's going to get a prize. You're just going to be a part of this bigger picture of making this happen.
I don't know.
How would we figure out a prize?
Oh, how would we figure out? Well, okay, we're going to
We'll figure something out. We're going to not fight and talk about this.
That's right. We're going to go have a show plan, a planning show.
I thought we were going to have loud sex.
Oh, shit. I don't know what to do now.
Let's have the show plan meeting.
What? That's it. I want a divorce. The what?
The what?
Okay, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next week and peace out.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.